World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, so last minute breaking news here. Bear with me a second as I get this sent off to our webmaster that he can throw it up there on the screen for you. It's hard to talk and read at the same time, isn't it? What is this called? Good morning. Yeah, that's what I want. Let's send it. Hey, how you doing, folks? Hey, listen, man, just excited today. So excited today that I've been wrong. I've been so wrong about this whole masking thing. And I found out that when I went to the homosexual pride parade this week, by the way, it was a month long celebration of debauchery, a luring of our children into homosexuality. I was really, really excited and really have to admit I was wrong, because Spencer, throw that up on the screen there for us. They do wear masks. At least they've been masking. So, they're making sure that they're not spreading COVID. Every one of these deviants are wearing masks. Now, my wife said to me this morning, she hadn't seen this wonderful picture. My wife said, though, why are they wearing dog masks? My wife's pretty smart. Why are they wearing dog masks? Honey, you ever heard of doggy sex? Ever being heard of, ever heard being led around on a collar, leash? See it, folks? See it? Oh, by the way, don't miss the excited parents in the background. I don't know, Spencer, how big you can make that picture. Look at the people in the background. Look at them smiling and taking pictures and waving flags as this little girl. It'd be better for them if they were to take a millstone and put it around their neck and threw them into the deepest part of the ocean, then permit this to happen to this little girl. Does anybody think I'm wrong?
Amen, Coach.
Does anybody in this queue think that Jesus Christ himself, if he were at that parade, does anybody think that he would be standing up there with his arms around these boys, these dogs? Would Jesus Christ be up there rubbing them on the back and telling them how much he loves them? Does anybody think that's going on? And then the question we should ask
God
ourselves.
God forbid.
The question we should ask ourselves is, why do we? Why do we approve? Folks, look at this. Look at this. Celebration of Pride Month. Look at the woman back there. Go make it a little bit larger if you can. Doggy sex, huh? Doggies. She says, "Mister, what is this? What is this leash for?" He says, "Oh, this is when my boyfriend, he pulls me by this and he tugs on it really, really hard when he's I don't have to finish it, do I? Do I have to finish it? Mommy, why is that man wearing a leash and collar? Mommy, look at the lady there and on the right, far right hand corner, smiling, holding. She brought an even younger child to it. Look at him taking pictures. Look at him smiling. Look at the lady sitting over the left in her pride chair, swinging a flag.
That's disgusting, exposing children to this, Coach.
It's child abuse, folks. It's child. Do you guys, those of you who are listening right now, watching right now.
Not only child abuse, this thing.
Do you guys know that up until 2003 in Lawrence v. Texas, homosexual sodomy was a crime. C-R-I-M-E. Crime. So crime. And now we parade it in the middle of our streets.
Let's start with the first principle.
Now we take it into our libraries. And in our I'm showing you this because we're going to be talking about here in a minute. Mike, are we getting close there with Roger at all? We're working on technology here, friends. I have a guest that's coming in here. Let me go back to my I don't know about you guys. This puts my blood pressure at about 950,000.
Yes.
Well, what would any of you do right now if you were walking down the street out in the middle of nowhere and you came around the corner? Can you put that picture back up, Spencer? You came around the corner and those people in the background aren't there. You just came around the corner in your neighborhood and these three guys were right out there on the sidewalk talking to some little girl walking in your neighborhood. Would anybody have a red flag go up? What?
What? Now you know why Muslims call us dogs.
Folks, look at that. Look at that. I could show you picture after picture after picture of this kind of stuff. Pride. Pride. And at some point, we're going to have to make a decision. So, now, hey, listen. See, that right? The emails have probably already started. They would call me hateful, whatever they would call me. I'm going to show you something else that's going on, just in case you didn't know this. Spencer, I just sent you something that says F-book on it. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. We have a guest coming up here in a minute. Bear with me here. Bear with me. Roger Eck said, who? You'll be glad you did. Have you guys got any of these yet? I'll get him off of there. Facebook is now sending messages to some users asking about potentially extremist friends. Have any of you guys gotten any of these alerts from Facebook yet? Okay, scroll on down because we're going to see if it shows. There it is. There's one. There it is. Okay. John Burnett. This is not our friend, John Burnett. This is a different John Burnett. This came from Facebook, folks. These are now being attached to Facebook posts. John Burnett, how sweet. Facebook is offering support. Look at this, friends. This is what Facebook posted on John Burnett's Facebook page. Are you concerned that someone you know is becoming an extremist? We care about preventing extremism on Facebook. Now, they don't care about men dressing like dogs and wanting to doggy style other men with leashes. That's okay. That's a good community standard, right? That's not an extreme thing to do. Others in your situation have received confidential support. So Facebook says, if you're getting concerned because Bob Evans is watching Coach Dave live, you might want to report him. You might want to report Bob. You definitely need to report that Tracy. You definitely need folks that they're after your friends. You see this? You see this? See how this works? Oh, this is so dangerous. And I want you to know that America will never be America again because they've Boy, you should have watched yesterday's show. Should have watched it yesterday. Talked about Americanism. And all the other isms. And I've warned you for how long that the battle in America is against white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. And you still don't want to believe it because for you to even mention the fact that your skin is white, you're racist. You're racist. And so they can beat you over the head with every club they have. And don't you dare mention white. And if you do mention white, you are a racist, and Facebook will warn all their friends. And the next thing you know, you go to Washington, D.C. for a peaceful protest, and you will be called a criminal. And there are still today over 400 people still incarcerated for simply going into the Capitol building on January 6th. You guys know that? Facebook is deeply involved in deep state. Call it whatever. I feel like Alex Jones. CIA, FBI, deep, deep state shenanigans.
Bam.
It's right there in front of us, friends. It's right there in front of us. Mike, did we get Roger in here yet? I can't hear you, Mike. I can't hear you.
Yeah. Say yes. Okay, yeah, hang on. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we got him.
I got to say something else. to, oh, I got so much to talk about. The world's lost. I subbed last night in a Thursday night golf league. And so I was out playing golf. And this sounds so judgmental. I'm sorry if this does. I must really, really be a freak. I must really be a freak. Because I show up at the golf. I wear my Christian outfit. Not overtly Christian, right? But I wear a Christian shirt. Yesterday I wore a hat that said Jesus. You got to see my Jesus visors. And I show up and play golf like that. Wouldn't you think that maybe just one of the 120 guys playing golf there would start a conversation with me about Christianity? They're not even curious. And so I'm looking around at all these golfers out here. Number one, how many are Christian? Number two, how many would claim to be Christian? Folks like you really are a minority. You really are what Facebook said up here. You really are extremists. You really are. But how do I say this? You're normal. Hey, look, you're normal. We'll say it again because you never hear it. You're normal. In fact, in your church, your pastor and friends call you an extremist. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Huh? Say, I love Jesus too, but I'm not like that guy. He's crazy. That guy's crazy. You know what I'm telling you, right? Because the Bible tells us this. I'm not trying not to cast aspersions or value judgments on anybody, but the Bible tells us this, that broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Many who come, but there are very few that find it. What's the message of the modern day church? What's the message of the modern day church? We're all in there. Come on, everybody. Jesus loves everybody. Well, that's great, except that's not, it's not what the Bible teaches, is it? It isn't what it teaches. And so there I got all those good old boys I'm playing golf with, I would assume. By the way, one lady did come up and say, hey, I like your hat. I really like your hat. One woman did say that. That was as close as to a response that I got from anybody. My hat said, Jesus, I really like your hat, she said. And all I would say this, most of the guys there probably are what we would call conservative guys. Most of them are. And yet we're letting all this stuff go on. All of this stuff going on in the world, because the world's lost, right? It's lost. Mm. Bill Cosby got out of jail. I got to bring this up. Neither here nor there with whether Bill Cosby deserved to be in jail. That's neither here than there. We now know that the Justice Department broke the law, locking him up. Bill Cosby, whether or not he took advantage of women and raped them or not, a whole different story. Bill Cosby was released from jail because of what? Prosecutorial misconduct. In other words, they lied and they cheated to do it. They broke the law. Can you imagine how badly they must have broken the law in order for the courts to agree with them? Can you even imagine how ruinous it must have been? And Hillary Clinton's still walking free and Bill Cosby's in jail. Well, not anymore. He's not in jail. And so I'm going to tell you this. I love all of you. As we're finding out with President Donald Trump right now, if they want you, they'll make a charge. They will find a charge. You can follow every law to the T, and they will find something on you. You watch. Coming to a neighborhood near you, Facebook now sending messages to some users asking about potentially extremist friends. This is this Flea Flicker Friday, by the way. Flea Flicker Friday. Got Mike Heath in here with us. This is going to be interesting. Because Mike Heath's been bragging to me about a guy named Roger Eck. So here's Roger Eck. Well, he's a guy that lives way up in Maine, state of. See if you can pull that up there, Spencer, because I want people to see where Roger Eck is here. This is Google Earth. Some of you never even been to Maine. If you've never been to Maine, you can't even appreciate this. Because when you can get to Maine, and you can't be any farther from people than Maine. So there's this blue dot of Maine. There's New Brunswick. It's right against Canada, right? The coast of Maine over here on the right-hand side is really, 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 really pretty. But there are parts of Maine, Lee, Maine, there are parts of Maine that folks, listen, it's still like, it's like being out in the middle of the woods. There's still communities like that all throughout Maine, up in what they call the Allagash. Just wilderness, but there are towns there. And one of those towns happened to be a little town called Lee, Maine. Lee, L-E-E. And it's probably really, really beautiful, and it's probably someplace you'd want to raise your family, but it's economically oppressed as much of America is now, and especially economic oppression when you live out in the woods, right? Look at the size. Look at the crossroads there at Lee, Maine. Look how big that little town is, Lee, Maine. There's a guy named Roger Eck who lives in Lee, Maine, who's on the school board. I'm going to let Mike Heath come in and tell us a little bit of the story. But we're having Roger Eck. Roger has to join us by phone. He doesn't have the technology that we have. Roger Eck is a war hero here on the 4th of July weekend. Not only that, but as Mike said to me earlier, he has steel in his teeth, iron in his teeth. Remember, we saw that the other day on the Outlaw, Josie Wales. So I'm going to let Mike come in. I'm going to let him tell us a little bit about Roger Eck, and then we're going to have Roger Eck come in and talk to us. Go ahead, Mike.
Coach, I've known Roger for 30 years. He's an older gentleman now, and he is indeed a war hero. He flew. Roger, you need to press *6 in order to unmute. Let's just test this right now so you can correct me as I introduce you. He likes me to get the number of missions correct. Go ahead and say hi.
Good morning.
Hey, there we are. So,
welcome, Roger.
So let me go ahead. So Roger's an older gentleman who's lived in Lee, Maine for a very long time.
Hang on a minute, Mike. Hang on, Mike. I'm an older gentleman.
Yeah.
I'm an older. How old are you, Roger?
Well, I tell you, I've been alive for one third of the time that we've had a nation.
So, come on, help me out here, dude. How old are you?
I'll be 80 next month.
80 next month. Still on the school board. Go ahead, Mike.
So Roger was faced with an attack by Governor Jezebel Janet Mills. She promulgated a rule. I'm going to let Roger get into the particulars on it, that pushes transgenderism down to four-year-olds and in the public schools of Maine, all of them. But the school board has power to veto what she was proposing. And Roger was the lone voice to stand up, but I'm going to have him come in and tell you what happened. But and I'm also going to tell you in advance the end result, which is that he won, and he did it single-handedly, all by himself, with almost no support.
Okay, so let's get the picture, folks. The governor of Maine, Janet Mills, Mike calls her Janet Kills Mills, instituted a curriculum into the public schools teaching transgender. We just saw that, right? We just saw the dogs. Teaching transgenderism to six-year-olds, right, in the public schools?
Four-year-olds.
Four-year-olds in the public schools. And some 80-year-old veteran who flew all kinds of rescue missions in a helicopter, still on the school board at 80, said, something not right here. Something not right here. Am I getting it pretty good, Mike?
You are, Roger. This is a good point for Roger to come in and tell us about that first school board meeting and why you wrote the letter, Roger.
Yep. Well, we have lots of bylaws in the school systems, public schools in Maine. And each school board member gets a big fat notebook full of these bylaws, and they change it from time to time. You take out some pages, you put in new pages, and we have an itinerary. We have a schedule for the school board meeting. And it says we're going to review these various bylaws. And they're listed by numbers. There's eight numbers. And it's two digits, three digits, three digits, and two digits. And it's all letters and numbers, mumbo jumbo. You can't tell anything about the subject by looking at it. You have to actually look it up and read it. So I looked it up and read it. And it starts out, you know, we don't want to have any bullying in the schools. We don't want to have discrimination in the schools and all that kind of stuff. And that's, everybody agrees with that. So they're comfortable with that, and they probably vote yes. And it, but I read the entire thing. And it says that, you know, we have to be tolerant of transgenders. And we have to teach children that they could be transgender. And we have the kids for 15 years here. So we start out with a four-year-old program, a pre-K and a K. And those four-year-olds don't even know the numbers and colors, a lot of them.
Amen.
Yeah. So we have.
Folks, hang on, Roger. Four-year-olds don't even know their numbers or their colors, and they're being taught transgenderism. Go ahead, Roger.
So we've got pre-K, and then we've got K before they ever get to the first grade. So we've got 3 years on top of the 12 years. That's 15 years we've got these kids before they graduate from high school. So I read down through this thing, and about two-thirds of the way from this six-page document, I realized that, you know, we have to be accommodating to the transgender children. Well, we've never had a transgender child in this school. We've had schools in Hinalee since 1832 when the town was founded. We had built the first school. We built the school before we built the church. Well, then we, so the these kids, we've never had a transgender child in our system, to my knowledge. It was declared to be transgender, but now they want us to tell this kid that if Robert wants to be a girl, he can adopt the name Gwendolyn and wear a dress in school.
And everybody else has to accept it, right, Roger?
They not only have to accept it, Gwendolyn now can use the girls' bathroom. And now we have, as part of this program, we haven't adopted, by the way. I'll get back to that in a second. They're spending a pile of money to do away with the boys' and girls' bathrooms. We have one big bathroom, take the wall right down. So if your fifth grade daughter is in there using the bathroom with no door, and an eighth grade boy goes in there to take a leak, you know, this is not a good thing.
This isn't Los Angeles, California, folks. This isn't Portland, Oregon. This is out in the woods, Maine. They're trying to force this on children. Go ahead, Raj.
So I wrote a letter to the local weekly paper that comes out Wednesday afternoon. And I wrote, the title was Warning to Parents. You know, the parents had no idea this was happening. And our school board doesn't often have visitors. It's open to the public. People can come in and observe the school board. It's the most boring thing in the world most of the time. Very few people ever show up. But Mike showed up. and because I told him, I forget whether I told him or somebody else told him anyway. I put this letter in the paper, and it got this teachers and the left-wingers, and we've got a bunch of progressives on the school board. And they just pitched a purple fit, as we say in Maine. They were outraged that somebody had pointed the fickle finger of truth at them, and they don't like that. And when you shine a bright light of truth on them, they scatter like a bunch of cockroaches.
Mm-hmm. So, Roger, can I jump in?
Just a second, Mike and Roger. For people just tuning in.
We have to have three readings of one of these bylaws before it's adopted. So we have the first reading, which is an introduction. And it passed 6-3.
To adopt this transgender policy in the schools in Lee, where they've maybe never seen a transgender person in their life. But you guys are adopting this policy.
Hey, Coach and Roger, I'm going to jump in here real quick. I'm going to jump in real quick because I don't want to move away from that first meeting. I was there, and I'm ashamed that I didn't stand up and speak. One person stood up and spoke in support of Roger's motion or whatever to say no to it. And that was another Lee resident. I was a little concerned about not being a Lee resident. So I witnessed it. The point I want to make is that the school board meeting felt to me like a satanic liturgy. And here's why. The school board chairs open, and I'll bet this is rarely done, if ever done, but the chairman stood up and read all six pages of single-spaced drivel to open the meeting. It took 15 or 20 minutes. By the end of it, we were all brain dead. But most of the people that showed up were the cockroaches that Roger is mentioning. He had no visible, strong public support for his position.
Roger's going to stand up and fight against this stuff, and the room is filled with people who are against Roger. So it's literally Roger Eck David against the Goliath, left-leaning demonic brigade. Is that the picture, Mike?
Yeah, and one last point. It wasn't just the Lee school system that reacted to his letter. All the adjacent MSADs, we call them in Maine, came out officially against Roger's position, demanded his resignation publicly from the school board, and said he needed to be sent to re-education camp. This is an 80-year-old Vietnam War veteran who flew 556 successful attack helicopter missions in the Mekong Delta.
Roger, I got to ask you a question. Did the church come and stand with you yet, Roger? Were they out there? Were the pastors out there fighting with you, brother?
No, no pastors.
Okay, so go ahead.
We got a retired pastor that's now on the school board.
Oh, and he was with you? Was he with you, Roger?
Yep.
Okay, so come on, let's get through this story. So you write the letter, you stand up, and all hell and their demons attack you, right?
But somebody, now not me, but somebody took a photograph on their phone of my article in the newspaper and posted that photograph on Facebook. Okay. Well, once it's on Facebook, it goes viral. If people are interested, are you sure? Did this really happen? They really want to do this? And I got email from as far away as Florida, California, Washington State, and lots of other states. I mean, coast to coast.
People couldn't believe it was going on, right, Roger? They couldn't believe it was going on.
I had no idea that some of these things existed.
Going on in their own communities, right? Going on in their own communities.
Actually, the number of perverts who think this is a wonderful thing is small. The actual number is small. And most parents had no idea that this was coming at them. So we had our second reading. At the second reading, it was voted in favor 8-6. So now I've doubled my opposition from 3-6. And it passed the second reading, so by two votes. So then we had it scheduled for the third meeting. The third reading, at that point, it becomes part of our policy. We have a policy manual, as I said earlier. Well, I've attracted quite a bit of attention, and Tucker Carlson wanted to be at the third meeting. Well, when I told the superintendent that Tucker Carlson was coming with a film crew from Fox to attend our school board meeting, he just about wet his pants. He didn't want the bright light of truth shined on him.
Uh-huh.
And he took it off the agenda. So we haven't proved it. It hasn't been on the agenda. But they had old business on the agenda. But they might try to slide it under the door as old business. Mm. But they didn't. He did not. I told him, I said, we need to know if you're going to bring that up under old business, because, you know, there's probably going to be a full parking lot and the Fox News people are going to be here. Tucker Carlson's going to be here in person. And Roger, he just, yeah.
How long have you been on the school board, Roger? You're an elected member of the school board at 80 years old, a Vietnam vet hero, not just a guy that cooked hamburgers in Vietnam, a real rescue hero. How long have you been on the board, Roger?
More than 20 years. The first time, you know, I really didn't intend to run for school board, but nobody ran. So I put up a notice at the local general store. And I said, look, nobody's running for this slot on school board. I was on the planning board. And that's a separate thing for the town. And I said, look, nobody's running. We need to be represented from here in Lee. I says, I'll run. Write me in. And I got like 30 votes as write-ins, and a bunch of other people got one vote, two votes. And so I was elected to the school board.
On write-ins, you were elected as a write-in, Roger?
The first time, yes.
Wow, unbelievable.
And that's a three-year term. So after that, you know, you're going to run again, right? Yep, I'll run again. So I filled in. I had to get signatures. I had to get 20 signatures. Well, that's no problem. I just go to the coffee shop and put this paper out there, and 20 people signed it. And so I was elected for a second term and a third term. And I don't know how long it's been. I said, it's more than 20 years. I'm coming up again next spring. I will have opposition next spring, organized opposition from the gay rights transgender crowd.
Mafia.
So we'll see how that goes next spring.
So Roger, if you could, so in other words, it's on hold right now. This battle isn't over because they could bring it up as old business at any time, right? Are you building
any? There's no meeting in August. They canceled the August meeting. So the first meeting we have will be after school starts. We start school before Labor Day here. And we have the provisions for lots of snow days. So we don't have to go too far in June. So,
okay. You know, so I got some folks that want to get in there and ask you a question or two, Roger. Let me ask you this, Roger.
Yeah.
Because we have people listening right now who are considering running for their local school board. All right.
Yep.
Because we're sick of what's going on with our children. Roger, tell us how this is
coast to coast.
This isn't just
what some wild idea in Lee, Maine, up here, population 925. From my backyard to the next paved road is 42 miles through the woods. You know, we're out there.
And they got transgenderism in the woods.
Yeah.
Huh? Transgenderism in the woods. So Roger, help us out here. As those who maybe are thinking about running for school board, could you give us a few pointers or hints or things to watch out for or experiences or how this system works?
Well, don't present yourself as being a controversial person. Just say that you'd like to serve and help out in town, you know. I mean, I used to have a one-hour radio show once a week, and it was a Northern Maine Landman show. I've been involved in land issues since 1973. And when they brought in a land use regulation that applies to everybody in the whole state, we've been battling that ever since. And I've been a private property land use advocate all that time. And I will be until I die. And I've had a lot of victories in that field. Not just me, other people also. But I like the fuse. And see what happens next. So, and that's what happened here. Somebody photographed the article out of the weekly paper, put it on Facebook, and it went wild. Of course, my name was on it. So they thought I did it. No, I didn't. But somebody did.
So, anyway, so Roger, where did this board policy come from? It clearly was not a policy written by the members of the board there in Lee, Maine.
No. It wasn't even written in Maine. It came from the National Education Association, which is a teachers union ally or supporter. And they're a left-wing outfit. And Betsy DeVos, who was head of the Department of Education under President Trump. The Department of Education is a huge bureaucracy, 18,000 people in Washington, D.C. They have no schools. They don't teach anybody. They're just giant bureaucracy.
18,000 folks, listen to that. 18,000 employees in the Department of Education. They have no schools. They have no teachers. 18,000 bureaucrats gumming up education.
They don't teach anybody. Yeah. They just dream up ideas to inflict on the American education system. And this started in the teachers' union. And National Federation of Teachers or something like that.
Yeah.
And they've got a bunch of associations. I go as a delegate from Lee to the state convention of the School Administration Association, and they have an annual one-day event down in Augusta. My wife was a special education teacher. She was valedictorian of her high school class, 2 master's degrees, and she's an expert on federal education law. And the largest law firm in Maine that works primarily on education came to her last meeting down in Augusta a few years ago, and she was not going to come again. This was her last meeting. She'd retired as a teacher, and she was immediately elected to the school board, and. She passed away almost 4 years ago. Hmm. So we were married 1 month less than 53 years.
Wow.
I'm the 4th generation in my family to be married 50 years or more.
Sounds like Lee, Maine's a good place to live. Hey, let's get to it. Hey, Roger, I got some folks here who want to ask you some questions. Dale, come in, then Lou Ann and Michelle and Jill. Go ahead, Dale. Dale's in New Orleans, Roger.
Brother, I just want to go back, I guess when you were talking about that maybe they saw your show yesterday talking about the animals. You were talking about the backwoods and the animals having sex. Maybe they caught on to that, and that's why they're running their school board like that. But, brother, I appreciate this man.
80 years old.
His service to this country. It grieves my heart that we're raising a bunch of pansies who are afraid to stand up and fight for what is right in this country. And for the generations of 50 years plus marriage, brother, when I see that, man, that is just a badge of honor.
Amen. Hey, Roger. Thanks, Dale. Hey, Roger. Why would 6 people on the school board vote for such a dastardly bill? Why would they support that, Roger?
They're related to teachers. That I'm serious. Yeah. And they've got a... We had a group in Maine a few years ago called Safe Schools, and they're everywhere. They're in all 50 states.
Homos. It's all homosexuals.
They started this group here for high school and junior high and high school students. It's called Safe Schools. Well, Safe Schools, that sounds like a good idea. You don't want ice sliding off the roof and hitting the kids. And you don't want kids to mix wrong chemicals together in chemistry class and make poison gas. We ought to have safety rules. That's not what it's about. It's for making schools safe for gay people. And that's so they got busloads of kids from Maine went down to Tufts University in Boston and attended a weekend seminar where boys and girls were instructed in techniques of sodomy. Now, this happened, and the parents had no idea what safe schools was. They came home and told their parents what they'd learned, and parents pitched a purple fit. So they didn't have any more of those busloads of kids going down to Tufts.
I guess.
And I have an audio tape of what was done there, and I had no idea what fisting was. Never heard of it. But girls were taught about fisting. Well, let your imagination run with that. This happened, okay? Public school money, public school buses took kids down to Boston for a weekend. No chaperones. And they spent the weekend at Tufts and stayed in the Tufts dorm because this was a weekend the students weren't there. And came back. Some of the kids refused to go to any more sessions after the first couple.
Wow.
And this happened, and I've got an audio tape of that This is years ago that this happened, and this is not a new thing.
Man, oh man! Hey, we got to teach them to use their fists for the right things. Come on in, Lou Ann, then Michelle. Let's try. Hey, folks, listen. Try not to tell lifelong stories. Ask your questions so we can fly through these. Go ahead, Lou Ann.
Okay, who's next?
We're waiting there. Michelle, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Rogers. How big is Maine, and how big is your influence of homosexuals and transgender? That place doesn't look very big.
Michelle is from South Africa, Roger. So explain how big Lee Maine is.
Okay. Well, you've got a great big country down there, and it's a great country. Maine is bigger than the other five, physically bigger than the other five New England states put together. And you could take Connecticut and put it in Aroostook County in Maine. It's a big state physically, but we've only got 1.3 million people. Mm-hmm. Same population as New Hampshire, 1.3 million. New Hampshire has no sales tax, no income tax, and they have better schools and better hospitals and better roads than Maine does.
Well, Jack McCarthy, let's get a Mainer in here. Come on in, Jack. Then Joe Allen.
Hey, buddy. I'm missing you. I haven't seen you in a while. You know that in Maine, all the Boys and Girls Clubs are run by the Mi'kmaq tribe.
Yep.
All the Boys and Girls Clubs come under the Mi'kmaq tribe. And all the Mi'kmaq tribes support all the Me Too Mainers that are trying to indoctrinate the transgender philosophy, and they teach it to children from 12 to 17 in little overnighters at the Boys and Girls Club. How nice.
Yeah, man. It's where we are, outside influences. Joe Allen, come on in. Joe's in South Carolina.
Morning. Morning, sir. Thank you for your service as a veteran to a veteran.
Amen.
But my question is, does this economy put these parents both have to work in this country?
Yep.
I homeschooled my kids. I got a 19-year-old. My last one bought a home.
Yep.
What will most 19-year-olds be doing right now? Is homeschooling up there in Maine, is it prevalent? That's my question.
Yes. Homeschooling is supported here. Two incidents. My wife tutored the last three, not the last three, but tutored three valedictorians out of Lee Academy. Yeah. Lee Academy is a private school, and all of our local kids go there free of charge because we don't charge them any taxes for their buildings. But it's a good school, and we have kids from all over the world come to Lee Academy.
Wow.
We have a bunch coming from Red China. We have some from Korea. We had.
You need some from Washington, D.C. You need some from Washington, D.C., sounds to me like. Get them in there, get them straightened around. Come on in, Ohio Brett, then Mark, then Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Mills. Ohio Brett here, and it's an honor to meet you. And thank you for your service for our country and in Maine. And I am getting ready to drive into Maine. On behalf of your next governor, Michael Heath, I'm blitzing all 16 counties in Maine, Mr.
Yep.
Mills. And I look forward to
Ohio, Brett, you broke up.
And seeing what happens for outdoors.
Yep.
And you better believe. Can you hear me?
Are you breaking up?
God bless you, sir.
God bless you. Come on in, Mark. Mark Trump, speak now or forever hold your peace. Rochelle, while Mark's holding his peace. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Good morning, team. Thank you, Mr. Mills. I just wanted to point something out that they're trying to get a hold of these kids younger and younger with this
education that they're calling it. Yeah. But this, is there any other reason except to corrupt their little minds and make all of their thoughts evil all the time? I mean, what shouldn't we be teaching our kids something else?
Definitely. We should teach them history and geography, which is no longer taught. They have something they call social studies.
And do you know,
I went
to school to be a teacher. I wanted to teach history, and they told me that I wouldn't have a job. They told me that they are doing, and I see this now, like the history teacher is now the basketball coach. It's ridiculous.
Roger, does the administration know, is this, excuse me, this top-down education, right, Roger? Most of the stuff being taught in the school is mandated from on high.
Well, we've got a few underground teachers that still teach geography, and they still teach history. And the kids, an average high school graduated from public schools in this country knows three things. We defeated the Redcoats. George Washington's the father of our country, and Betsy Ross made the flag. That's it. They know nothing about the great courage and sacrifice that individual families made when their militia member marched off to war.
Amen.
And his mom and kids, the neighbors helped them out, helped to harvest the crops, get in their firewood. But basically, it was a huge sacrifice made.
Boy, folks, is that ever a mic drop? Think about what he's just saying. Our kids are taught that white men are oppressive, and they did this to the Indians, and they did that to the black people. And Mr. X telling us the reality of it is this is all done a great sacrifice, great, great sacrifice to individual Americans, and that's no longer taught to our children. Come on in, Mark.
Hey, I really appreciate this opportunity to hear your story. What do you do? That's going to be the question at the end. But what did I just do? I went to my school board website, okay, and I typed in policies. So I found the school board policies for Montgomery County, Virginia, where my grandchildren go. So what can you do at home right now? Is your school board do the policies make you mad so you'll go get on it? So, Roger, what can we do? How do we take and apply your lessons?
Good question, Mark.
Well, most school boards have websites. And you can, once you get on the website and get the address, you can Google policy. And somewhere near the back, way in the back, you'll find their policy regarding, bullying, for example. Well, nobody wants to see bullying in the schools. And, everybody knows that years ago, there were bullies in school.
And there still are, Roger. It's called government.
Yeah, I know. But, we're talking about school bullies. And the bully always had a few followers.
Right.
That's just the way society and human
nature
experience is. I mean, Adolf Hitler was elected by the socialists in Germany. And Nazi is German abbreviation for National Socialist Party. People aren't taught that anymore.
No.
This is what happens. I served in six countries where they had tyranny. I was in Chile when Allende tried to take over in 1963. We defeated him in one night. I say we. My job used to be flying SEALs around in helicopters. I was never a SEAL, but I did go through counterinsurgency warfare school with them. No swimming involved. And I'm not a frog man. But I went through counterinsurgency warfare school. And when I went there, I was the first Naval District Small Arms Champion, rifle and pistol both. And I showed up down there, and it was raining, and they had a 50-yard pistol target set up at 25 yards, and I was firing, and I fired 10 rounds. The instructor came over and said, "I don't see what you're doing wrong." I said, "I don't either." I went up and looked at the target. I had 9 rounds in the 10 ring, and one leaked out into the 9 ring. He says, "Who are you?" I said, I'm just your average naval aviator.
Come on in, Roger. Then Jeff.
Oh, I was just going to say, folks, this is what a hero looks like.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, how would we get a copy, Roger, of the letter you sent to the school board? Is that something
question.
You could get? Could you get that to Mike Keith? Because it could be a foundational letter.
I have no idea who I'm talking with and where you are. I could send a copy of it to Mike.
Yes. Roger's in Ohio, but if you send it, if you got it to Mike Keith, he will get it to us, Roger.
Right, what, and yeah. I think that could be might be a good starting point for all of us.
Amen, amen. So, amen, Roger, let's Roger Eck, let's remember this: when you published the letter, you didn't get a bunch of pats on the back, did you? You got trouble.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. So hey Roger, you already told me that. I was going to ask you another question. Jeff Mel, come on,
Coach. Yes. Can I jump in here? I want to get Roger back to. He interrupted himself while he was making a very important point about communism. You mentioned Roger, Chile, I think it was, in 10 days, and you were flying the helicopter. Tell us what you saw when you flew the helicopter in there on your mission.
Well, I was hanging out at the officers' club in Chile with a bunch of Chilean helicopter pilots and in Santiago, which is their capital city. And I said, geez, guys, these rebels would come down out of the hills in the valleys like Castro did in Cuba. And Chile is a mountainous country. With very narrow strip of land along the Pacific Ocean on a plateau, which is good for farming. Very interesting place. So they told me what was happening, and they'd raid some village, and they'd kill the mayor and the police chief and run back up in the hills. So I said, look, you got helicopters. Yeah, we got helicopters. You got Marines, right? Yeah, we got Marines. I said, well, grab some of your Marines and go up, because they even knew which village they were going to hit, and there was no real defense for the village. You know, it was just a little rural community. So they got a bunch of Marines, and they went up this valley after the guerrillas came down into the village. They dropped a whole bunch of Marines up in the valley, and they're having a big meeting of Allende's cadre in this village. I don't know what village it was. I was not involved. I didn't do the flying. I just had the idea. So they went up in this valley, and they waited for them, and they ambushed the rebels coming up the valley, and they killed most of Allende's cadre, his top officials, in one night, and set him back 10 years.
Mm. We could do that today, couldn't we, Roger? We could do that. We could that today. We could do that same thing today.
Exactly. That's what they do. They come out. They come out of the rural areas into a village, and they kill the mayor, and they kill the police chief, and they kill the business owners. They kill the teachers. They kill police officers, and they leave. What they've done is they've disrupted the society. I was in the Dominican Revolution in 1965, and April. And I've got my logbooks from back then. Anyway, we went down there on the USS Newport News. It looks like a battleship. It's about a 2/3 scale of a battleship. It's a big cruiser. We went down there, and my job was to fly into the embassy in the middle of this revolution and pick up Major General Tompkins. Now, this guy is a 3-star Marine Corps general. And his job was the chief of staff of SHAFE, Supreme Headquarters European Allied Forces, in Belgium, Brussels, for a few years. And then he got done with that assignment, and he said, we'll give a nice, quiet assignment. He'll be the military attaché in the Dominican Republic. What's the island of Hispaniola? The west half of the island is Haiti, and the east half of the island is Dominican Republic. Very, very different societies. So my job was to go in there and pick him up and get him out of that embassy in the middle of the revolution. So I had the smallest helicopter in the whole Navy, one pilot and a bench seat for three behind it. So Vice Admiral Masterson came down and says, he said, can you go in right now? Because we arrived at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, no, sir. He said, what do you mean, no? I said, I can't see. Look, there's no lights in that city. The lights are out. There's no electricity. I don't know where the towers are. I don't know where the antennas are. And if I hit a power line wire or an antenna, I says, we don't have another helicopter. I didn't mention you won't have a pilot either. So we had one helicopter. I had the only helicopter in the entire flipping country for a week. I rescued. I avoid using profanity. So anyway, I rescued over 100 people out of the embassy that week. And when I flew in the first time, I came in at 1,500 feet, and I cut the engine back to idle and auto-rotated. Helicopters will have a glide angle of a brick. They come down real fast with no engine. So I dropped down there, and coming through 600 feet, I almost lost my breakfast because there were 2,500 dead civilians in the streets, and it was hot. And it was bad. So I went in there, and I picked up Major General Tompkins. And he wanted to handcuff this great big heavy briefcase to me. He said, sir, I can't fly with that thing. Handcuff it to the seat. Okay. So we handcuffed it to the seat. And we flew out to the ship. And Vice Admiral Masterson came out. He said, good job, Lieutenant Eck. He said, can you do it again? And at that moment, a Navy photographer snapped my picture. I got an 8 by 10 picture of me with this look on my face like, are you serious? And my answer was, yes, sir, I can do it again. Did it 100 times that week. And the ship baked a cake and said, congratulations, 100 landing. Well, they never had 100 landing on that ship ever in a week. So
we need a Roger Eck month. We don't need a gay pride month, right?
Communism.
Huh?
Amen.
So, folks, this is pretty humbling, isn't it? Isn't it pretty humbling? And it's humbling, Roger, Mr. Eck, as I sit here and think how much we sit back and rest on our laurels when a guy like you is still at 80 years old fighting the fight in the cultural war. It's humbling to have you on here.
I've had a bunch of victories over the years and also a few defeats.
Yeah, that's all part of it, isn't it? Roger, we've got a couple minutes left here. What would be your advice to anybody listening to this show right now who's considering running for political office, especially school board?
Run for your town council. Run for school board. Run for dog catcher. Whatever. If there's an opening coming up, run a campaign and don't take extremist positions. What some people would view as extremist first time through, they'll figure you out.
Yeah. So in other words, don't get out there and say, I'm going to go in there. We're going to clean this mess. Don't do that. Just say, I want to go serve. I've been a citizen forever here. I want to do my duty. Just low key it. Is that right, Roger?
Don't be a one issue candidate. Just telling you, you want to serve your town. You know, it's time. You've got the time to do it. You're going to do. You're going to be reliable and go up and actually show up at meetings.
Amen. Amen. Folks, it's been quite a lesson today. Lee, Maine. How large is Lee, Maine? 900 people. Is that what I heard? Mike, help me wrap this up here.
Our population is 945 if Susie hasn't had a baby yet.
Coach, I just want to put a exclamation point on what the story Roger told about the Dominican Republic. This is coming to America. This is coming to America. Roger and I have talked about this, and I don't want people to lose the point. The ideology that Roger saw at work, that he witnessed the evil fruit of in those missions, is here now. That ideology is in America. It commands the high ground. Commands the high ground, and we are few who are resisting. But look what Roger was able to do by himself with Facebook, of all things. I mean, we all complain about Facebook, but look what happened. it somehow, you know, it got to Tucker and boom. So you never know what's going to happen.
So folks, here on July 2nd, 2021, here at Coach Dave Live, we officially declare this Roger Eck Day. We're thinking about Roger and what he's done and ask ourselves, what can we do? What can we do? God bless you, Roger. Thanks for being on here with us.
Amen.
Folks, we will have a show on Monday. Yes, we will. We will be here on Monday. God bless you. Okay. We'll see you then.